Good morning, everyone. Sorry it's pouring with rain, but welcome anyway. Again, we've got Reverend John with us, so that's really nice. We enjoyed having him lead the service last week. I'm going to lead the service up to the... I have got it switched on. I'll lead the service up to the absolution, and then John's going to take over. So we start with hymn number 571, Soldiers of Christ Arise, 571. Please be seated for some notices. There, this evening we have the last of the summer sermon series. It will be the power and the glory rounding off the Lord's Prayer sessions. And then there will be no service here next Sunday evening because we will all be at St. Peter's. You've got enough, we have enough people now to... choose a hymn, so we'll see you hopefully all at St. Peter's next Sunday evening. Right, we open our yellow books at page one. That's right. Yes, Matthew, yeah. Yeah. Okay, at the top of the page. I'll give extra because Matthew is going on his own this morning, so we just have to guide him through the service a little bit more. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The Lord be with you. Turn over the page, top of page two. And we all say together the prayer at the top of the page. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us therefore confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live and love with peace with all. And we begin at the bottom of the page, Matthew. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people.
Page 4.
Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. O Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you
Almighty and everlasting God, who art always more ready to hear than we to pray, and art wont to give more than either we desire or deserve, pour down upon us the abundance of your mercy, forgiving us those things whereof our conscience is afraid, and giving us those good things which we are not worthy to ask, but through the merits and mediation of Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and for ever.
Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Joshua. Joshua gathered all the tribes of Israel to Shechem and summoned the elders, the heads, the judges, and the officers of Israel, and they presented themselves before God. And Joshua said to all the people, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then the people answered, "Far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out before us all the peoples, the Amorites who lived in the land. Therefore, we also will serve the Lord, for he is our God." This is the word of the Lord.
The second reading this morning is taken from Paul's letter to the Ephesians. "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Put on the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For our struggle is not against enemies of blood and flesh, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armour of God, so that you may be able to withstand on that evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand therefore, and fasten the belt of truth around your waist, and put on the breastplate of righteousness. As shoes for your feet, put on whatever will make you ready to proclaim the gospel of peace. With all of these, take the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times, in every prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert and always persevere in supplication for all the saints. Pray also for me, so that when I speak, a message may be given to me, to make known with boldness the mystery of the gospel, for which I am the ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it boldly as I must speak." This is the word of the Lord.
We stand to sing our next hymn, number 89 in the White Book, "Jesus, You Are Changing Me." Number 89.
Help me to be with
Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said to the crowd, "Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate, and they died. But the one who eats this bread will live forever." He said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue at Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard it, they said, "This teaching is difficult. Who can accept it?" But Jesus, being aware that his disciples were complaining about it, said to them, "Does this offend you? Then what if you were to see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit that gives life. The flesh is useless. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. But among you there are some who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the first who were the ones that did not believe and who was the one that would betray him. And he said, 'For this reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it is granted by the Father.' Because of this, many of his disciples turned back and no longer went about with him. So Jesus asked the 12, 'Do you also wish to go away?' Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom can we go? You have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe and know that you are the Holy One of God.'" This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Lord, may your word in our hearts be greater than the word on my lips, for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Please sit down, everybody. Since I saw you all last week, I was in the middle of the week, I was asked to go and celebrate a communion service in St. Agnes Church in St. Paul's, because the vicar there also is away. So people like me, we're the old has-beens, we get moved around a lot, filling in the gaps while people, the full-time clergy, have their holidays. At the end of the service, I came out of the church, and a man stopped me. I'd never seen him before, I didn't know who he was. And he began to tell me what a terrible fight he was having within himself. He began to tell me about his demons, or the difficulties in his own life, to tell me about the things he'd done wrong and how he couldn't get his head in order and he couldn't find anyone to listen to him, and he didn't know where to go, and he was homeless. But that didn't bother him. It was these inside things that were bothering him, and he was in great distress. I offered him help materially, and I listened to him, and then he said, as he went away, "Thank you, John." Well, he didn't know my name. "Thank you. I've got what I wanted. I wanted someone to listen to me." And there are many people like that in our world today, it seems to me, who are bearing great internal burdens. They are living in an internal world which distresses them. They are aware of pressures inside themselves that they can't really communicate to other people. And I start this sermon in that way because I want us to think together about the words of St. Paul in today's epistle. "Our struggle," he said, "is not against enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities and against the cosmic powers of this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And as we look at the world around us, and we hear the news day by day, and see some of the things that are happening, we are aware not only of physical evil, but we are aware of that behind the physical evil, there are bad beliefs, bad values, that are undermining the things that are good in life. Bad values, not just in the East, not just in the Muslim world, but in deep in the heart of the whole of mankind. Values that support us in being selfish. Values that make us say, it's every man for himself and never mind anybody else. When the chips are down, I'm going to look after me and mine, and the rest can go to hell. And our values, our spirituality, on all sides, as it has always been, is still being challenged. We need to actually pay attention to those things that are in the spiritual realm, those wrong values, those values that lead us to selfishness, those values that lead us to vengeance, those values that lead us to hate, those values that lead us to pride, I'm better than anybody else, those values that lead us to look down on other people. Such values are ultimately destructive of our very humanity. They deface the image of the God in whose image we are made. And St. Paul in today's epistle says, we struggle not against the enemies of flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers. And that man outside St. Agnes Church was aware of the cosmic powers affecting him personally, forcing him, as he saw it, to be something he didn't want to be, to do things he didn't want to do. And he was very aware of the precariousness of life if we get our values skewed and wrong. And so St. Paul says to them, we struggle. And I'm sure that people here, if we're honest, in our own lives, we and any group of human beings, we know that we do have inner struggles. We struggle to be kind sometimes. We struggle to forgive. We struggle to put other people first. We struggle to be helpful. We struggle to help people who don't deserve it. We struggle to actually cling to good values rather than bad and not just lapse into utter selfishness. We struggle. And maybe we should be much more aware of the word struggle. It's come into our vocabulary in recent years, since the Second World War, since we've had many of the people from our old empire coming to live among us, particularly people from the Muslim countries. We've been hearing a lot about the word jihad. People, the jihad. And if you hear of jihad, you think of a war. You think of ISIS and all the terrible things they're doing. They see what they're doing as a jihad, a holy war, part of their wrong interpretation of their religion. But we Christians too have a jihad. We're called to be a struggling people, to be a fighting people. And it's not for nothing that many of the hymns we sing are militaristic, onward Christian soldiers, like things like that. Because it's an acknowledgement that every human being who lives is in, and never stops being as long as we live, in a battle, a spiritual battle. And sometimes the temptation is to rest on our laurels, to think, well, I'm all right, I'm as good as the next man, I fit in well in the community I belong to, and don't do anyone any harm, and we just sort of settle down and we let ourselves out of the fight. Out of the fight to make goodness win. Out of the fight to make love win in human affairs. So Paul says, we struggle. And my question to myself as I read that, and to you, is do you? Do you struggle to do good? Or do you just lapse into a compromise that you know that's wrong? You know in your heart, but you go along with it. We all know the temptations of those sorts of compromises. We all know it's very difficult to go the second mile with people when they don't deserve it. We all know that it's very difficult to be kind to someone who doesn't deserve it. And yet if you think of the words of Jesus on the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about loving our enemies. He talks about taking the shirt off our back and sharing it without, you know, giving it to others. He talks about going the second mile. Because Jesus initiates a whole new way of being human. He initiates a body of people who will see themselves, however much they may fail, to being people who don't give up struggling. And in the spiritual sphere, and in the sphere of values, it's very important to say that. Because people can get sort of disillusioned. They lose confidence in themselves to be Christian, to be followers of Jesus. I'm a failure. I got it wrong again. I did lie. I did do that bit of gossip that quite deliberately that hurt that other person. And I delighted in the hurt that they got. We know that we can do evil. We know that sometimes we do. But that is no reason to give up the struggle. We are given, by the grace of God, always another chance. And we acknowledge that every time we come to church and confess our sins, since we came last, the things we got wrong between now and last week. We're conscious of some of them, but not all of them. The things we may have said and done that hurt others. Or the things that we didn't do, we just didn't put ourselves out. We just sat down and read the paper instead of doing something we know we should have done. The Christian life has never been presented to us as the great escape. The great escape from the problems of life. The great escape from the problems of the human race. In fact, it's the reverse. When we were baptized, it was prayed over us that we may be remains soldiers of Christ forever. The enlistment we make doesn't end in this world. The enlistment into being Christ's followers is there always, however much we may fail. And we are to see ourselves as belonging to a community where we can feel safe confessing our sins, where we can trust others to forgive us, where we can learn how not to take offence and not to give offence, where we can grow in the spiritual life. We Christians then, we are like the Muslims in a jihad, a struggle to do the will of a God of love, to do the will of the Creator of this world, which has a purpose for it which seems impossible as we read the news, as we see what people can do to each other, as we look at our human history and the disgraceful things that have been done, sometimes in the name even of Christ, and they've been wrong things. And here you are, and I am, in the 21st century. We are the inheritors of those people who first heard the Saviour and the Creator of the world call us to His way of being human. To His way of being human. And but that means that we are to be a people who have no illusions about ourselves, no grand ideas. We know what's wrong with us. We know we make mistakes. I know I need the love of and forgiveness of other people. But when we belong to the church, we must feel that those round us will sustain us and keep us going and help us get back on the right course again when we've gone wrong. To be a Christian, to join the struggle of following Christ, the beginning point is to know that you're a sinner, that you get things wrong, that I get things wrong.
but it's to hang on to the vision. Hang on to the vision that we belong to a new humanity. A new humanity that can't be destroyed. And this Christ who causes us to this humanity, says St. Paul, gives us the tools for the job. One of the complaints in the Iraq war was, later in Afghanistan, that our troops were not properly equipped, some people said. And equipment in a struggle is very important indeed. And the epistle today gives us something, some knowledge of the equipment that those who seek to follow the Christ way of being human are given. The equipment, the breastplate of righteousness, for example. The helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. The equipment we are given is equipment to defend us, and it's equipment to enable us to attack. Attack evil. The struggle against evil means attacking evil as well as defending ourselves against evil. Evil in the systems that we human beings create. There's something wrong in the global system of economics because it doesn't create justice. It doesn't create goodness. It creates greed and avariciousness. And so we must never stop fighting on that front. There are things wrong with the global system that keeps 2/3 of the world poor and 1/3 of the world extremely rich. We belong to the rich bit. There are things wrong. There is a battle to be fought, a fight to be won. So let's today listen to what Paul tells us of the equipment that's been given. And let's learn to throw off our unwillingness to follow Christ. We are in a struggle. Put on, says Paul, the belt of truth. It's easy to compromise love of truth. Oh, tell that little lie. We'll get away with it. Just make the story so that it makes you look good and not the other person. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, he says, of justice. I'm involved at the moment trying to help somebody who's been evicted from their house. And it's very difficult to get justice for this person. First of all, there wasn't enough money to pay for a solicitor. And the legal aid system has been cut, and so she couldn't get legal aid either. So in the court, only one side of the story was properly heard. The judge did his best, but it wasn't proper justice, because one side didn't get a fair crack of the whip. Justice, injustice is rife in the way the economic system of the world works. We throw away tons and tons of food every year just to keep the prices up. The farmers in our own country are finding it really hard to make ends meet with it. It costs more, they tell us, to produce a pint of milk than it does for the price they're sold in the shops. There's something wrong there. St. Paul says, put on the shoes that make you ready to proclaim the gospel, the good news of Christ, God's new way of being human. Do we, in the way we live, in the values we hold, do we actually say there is a better way of doing things than they're done the way it's done at the moment so often? What's the good news? The gospel. Is your gospel simply, oh, do the best you can in this world and it'll all be nice for you afterwards? But the gospel is for the world, for now. The gospel is that human beings can, if they will, try to get it right. Try to run it in God's way. building walls around the terminal at Calais to keep those people out solves nothing at all. The countries of Europe need to get together. We are living in a time, not the first time in history by any means, when there are great millions of people swilling around the globe, leaving their home countries, and it's having a knock-on effect on across the whole globe. We don't solve that problem by building higher walls or digging deeper ditches. We solve that problem by getting together and talking about it, and by caring about those people. The people in the camps at Calais are not bad people, they're not evil. They're trying to do the best for their families. So just knocking them on the head doesn't do anything. It just buries the problem and makes us think that we're safe. Then St. Paul says, put on the shield of faith. The shield of faith. There are different sorts of shields. So the shield that can protect you from an incoming arrow. To use a shield, you need to be aware of where the danger is coming from. And faith sharpens our awareness of where evil is. It should sharpen our awareness. It should give us a deeper understanding of the struggle we're actually involved in. Put on the shield of faith so you see the enemy more clearly. Put on the helmet of salvation. Wear something that will help you think straight and not lapse into just justifying the evil that's around us. These are the things that the Christian, this is the equipment that the Christian is asked to use. So in today's epistle, Paul asks us to look at ourselves again, to look at our Christian commitment. Are you still in the army? Are you still Christ's soldier? Or have you retired? I have to ask myself that question. People ask me that. They said, oh, no, you're retired, you've nothing to do. It's not like that, is it? There's plenty to do. There's a kingdom to serve. There is goodness to be done. There are people to forgive. There's energy to be used up until we leave this world. I'd like to quote again, to finish with, from another letter, the letter to the Ephesians, to the Hebrews. It ends, towards the end, it has this: we too must throw off every encumbrance and the sin that all too readily restricts us, and run with resolution the race that is set before us, our eyes fixed on Jesus, the pioneer, the perfecter of our faith. For the sake of the joy that lay ahead of him, he endured the cross, ignoring its disgrace, and has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. And in him, as we seek to live his way, we too hope to be in God. Our struggle then is not against the enemies of flesh and blood, but against the authorities, against the cosmic powers of the present darkness. May God help us all to discover how in him we can be victors over evil. Amen.
Time to say the creed together, page 6. We believe in
God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, the eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, from being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray for the church and for the world. Thank God for his goodness.
Please sit or kneel to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the rain to fill our reservoirs so that we won't be short through the coming months. We pray for your church throughout the whole world, many people praying and worshipping at this time. And we pray for our bishops. We pray for Justin, our Archbishop, for Mike and Dean, our bishops. We pray for Colin and Malcolm and Stephen as they serve us throughout churches together. We give thanks for Reverend John here with us this morning and for being able to lead our service. We pray for all those who help to run this church, whatever job they do. And we pray for our Queen and her family and for all that she has given to our country. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for our local community, for schools, the children of only another week or so to go before they return, for the teachers and all the preparations that they would do to start a new term. We pray for doctors and all those who do different jobs throughout our community here. Help them to keep our community alive. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all those who are ill at the moment, whether in mind, body or spirit. And in our own parish, we pray for Rita Severn, Barbara Master, Christine Deffitt and Pam Phillips. Heavenly Father, let them feel your comforting arms and let them be healed if that is your wish. Just keep them all safe. And we pray for all doctors and carers, all those that work in the care system. Help them to have strength and compassion to care for all those who are ill at this time. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those who have died, whether recently or in times past. And in our parish, we remember Janet Hayes, Jeff Bell, Ivor Crewe, Jean Randall, Ken Hervin, and a moment to remember any that we ourselves know. Heavenly Father, we ask you to take them into your heavenly kingdom and let them feel your loving arms around them. And we think of all those who are grieving at this time. Let them find peace in the memories that they have of those who they love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And we pray for ourselves, for all that we may do this week. Let us do it so that we can lift it to God. And we pray for our families, whether near or far across the seas. Keep them all safe and united in your love. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Merciful Father,
accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ. Amen. Now let us all stand. Let us all stand to share the peace of Christ with each other. For Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name. We share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
Let us offer each other a sign of his peace. Peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
Come and say, peace be with you.
Peace be with you.
I don't want you to be left out. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. Peace be with you. There we go. Peace be with you. 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 Peace of the Lord be with you. Peace 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 be with you. Our offertory hymn is 331.
Oh.
wine. All things come from you, O Lord, and of your own do we give you. Amen. Amen. Thank you. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
It is indeed right. It is our duty and our joy, at all times and in all places, to give you thanks and praise, Holy Father, Heavenly King, Almighty and Eternal God, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. But for he is your living Word. Through him you have created all things from the beginning and formed us in your own image. Through him you have freed us from the slavery of sin, giving him to be born of a woman and to die upon the cross. You raised him from the dead and exalted him to your right hand on high. Through him you have sent upon us your holy and life-giving Spirit, and made us a people for your own possession. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and singing.
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the
Accept our praises, Heavenly Father, through your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. And as we follow his example and obey his command, grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, these gifts of bread and wine may be to us his body and his blood, who in the same night that he was betrayed took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, we remember his offering of himself, made once for all upon the cross. We proclaim his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and we look for the coming of your kingdom. And with this bread and this cup, we make the memorial of Christ, your Son, our Lord. Great is the mystery of faith.
Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again.
Accept through him, our great high priest, this our sacrifice of thanks and praise. And as we eat and drink these holy gifts, in the presence of your divine majesty, renew us by your Spirit, inspire us with your love, and unite us in the body of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, Father Almighty, in songs of everlasting praise.
Blessing and honor and glory and power be yours forever and ever. Amen.
As our Saviour taught us, so together we pray.
Yours, now and forever.
break this bread, to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Gifts for God's holy people. Jesus Christ is holy. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table. But you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. The body of Christ. Blood of Christ. The Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. Amen. The body of Christ. 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 The Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. The body of Christ. 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 The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. The body of Christ.
Sweet sacrament of peace, dear. body of Christ. The 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 Lord Jesus bless you and keep you. The body of Christ. God of all mercy, in this Eucharist, you have set aside our sins and given us your healing. Grant that we who are made whole in Christ may bring that healing to this broken world. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And from page 17, let us pray the prayer of thanksgiving together. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son. Through him we offer you our souls and bodies to be a send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. May the Lord Jesus Christ keep us all in the love, the joy, the hope, the peace and the simplicity of his holy gospel,
and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always. Go in the peace of Christ. Thanks be to God. And our hymn as we go is number 152.
He lives who died, he reigns on high.